Amen. Are you ready to change the world? All right, four of you. We'll do it. Are you ready to change the world? I was ready to change the world, man. When I was a kid, I was going to do great things. At one point, I was going to fly to the moon. At another time, for real, I was going to be a police officer like my father. I couldn't wait to be a cop. That was in fifth grade. I was so excited. And then in sixth grade, I got arrested for the first time. I wasn't so excited. It's pretty bad when your dad is a sergeant detective of homicide narcotics and one of the squad cars brings you to the police station in handcuffs in sixth grade, arrests you in class in front of all your classmates, handcuffs you, drives you up, picks up a couple more guys. And I got in there, and my dad said what I'm sure you've said in your lifetime at least once. I'm sitting in his office thinking, oh, take me to jail. And my father looks at me and he says, what were you thinking? Right? How many times have you ever said that to your kids? And I'm thinking, this is ex post facto. This is after the fact. If I were thinking, I wouldn't be sitting here arrested in your office. Right? So my dad says, what were you thinking? And I did what every one of your kids did when you said it to them. I went, oh, yeah, deer in the headlight, right? How many times have you said that? I remember when we moved to the farm, and I was farming. I was so excited about driving the tractor. Fell asleep while cultivating the corn. Woke up near the end of the field, and it looked like crop circles from aliens out there. I had dug up a lot of corn. I went, oh, no, and I raised it up, and the PTO had broken, and I got on the main gravel road heading back to the farm, 2 miles, 18th gear, doing all of 15 miles an hour. And the hydraulic broke the hose, and it dropped the plow, and I dug up the main road. To which my father drove out there after I got a hold of him on the shortwave radio, and he got out there, and he said, what were you thinking? And I went, right? I wasn't, because if I were thinking, this would not have happened. That's what we all do, right? I mean, how many of you Christians, you're like, I'm going to change the world. I'm a Christian. Aren't we all doing the same thing? Aren't we all just trying to be a Christian, right? And how many times we're like, I'm going to do this thing. And then you sin and you mess up, right? I mean, right? I mean, come on, this Christianity thing is kind of hard, right? I mean, how many of you go, I was going to change the world, and I mess up this week already, right? All right? I'm the only one? Okay, I'm the only one. Yeah, the few of you. I'm doing this Christianity thing, and I'm going, I'm just kind of going, and God's in heaven looking at me going, what were you thinking? I'm going, wasn't. You know, I'm trying to cook something at the house. I'm throwing a bunch of stuff in there. My wife comes home and's like, look at the kitchen. What were you thinking? I'm going to go watch TV. That's what I'm thinking. How many times we do that? This Christianity thing is, it can get hard, but we say, what were you thinking? I don't know. I wasn't thinking, God. That's why I sinned and messed up. If I were thinking, I wouldn't have done it. And so today, God tells us, as we close out our series on the spiritual warfare, he says, get dressed, put on the full armor of God. Today, he says, put on the helmet of salvation, and take up the sword of the Spirit. And they go together, people. You can't put the helmet on without the sword. You can't have the sword without the helmet. Why? Because you put the helmet on to protect. What were you thinking? Because here's where the battle is. Here's where you win or lose life. It's how you think. If you think bad, you do bad. If you think good, you do good. You're thinking. It's an amazing brain. And we as humans possess the ability to have this soul in our brain, this idea of thinking and having the kind of stuff that we think about. We think about whether we're pretty or ugly. I don't think a porcupine thinks about that. Right? We think about relationships and how we are going to be treated. I don't think my Labrador down at Atchison's thinks about that when she sees all the other dogs. But we do. We think about relationships. We worry how we look. We worry about the relationships. We worry about our food. They don't even think about it. And God says, what were you thinking? I don't know. I wasn't thinking. And we get ourselves in trouble. And we got to put the helmet of salvation on. And we need to take the sword of the Spirit. What I mean by that is the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so many times we don't think. How many times have you said that to your kids? What were you thinking? I mean, when their kids are small, they don't think, because when they go to the shelf, they go to the shelf in our brain, and in our brain there's this little guy, in my brain there's this little guy that runs around looking for help. Some of you would call it a mouse. I just got this, you know, this hamster running on a wheel. I got this guy that runs around, and when I get to a situation, and my wife says to me, hey, I got my hair done, what do you think? Man, that guy goes into high alert. What do I think? And he goes, quick, new hairdo, go to the shelf of what to say to your wife. Right? It happens. No matter what situation you're in, you have this shelf of morality. And you go to the shelf and you go, it's empty. You got your hair done? Oh, you're done. Yes, I did. Well, I didn't have anything in my shelf. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. And so that happens with our children. We don't put the sword and the helmet together too often, and it's not kind of going hand in hand. It's actually going hand in head. They go together. And God says, you got to put this stuff on. Our children get into a situation. Hey, get high with me. There's nothing there. Sure, let's get high. Or in my case, it was vandalism. Hey, let's break out some windows in a school. And 145 windows later, I'm getting arrested. My dad's saying, what were you thinking? And I go to the shelf and I went, nothing. Or the answer that every kid has, I don't know. Why don't they know? Because there's nothing on the shelf. So my wife and I, and we're going to be teaching this in the fall. And you're saying, I don't have any kids, but I'm going to that class. And the class is, we learned this years ago, I got to put something on my kid's shelf. I didn't have that on my shelf. So for instance, you ever have your kids, like an elderly person is walking into a door, right, up to a door, and your kids grab the door and they open it, and you know, they fly into the mall, and the door closes, and there's that guy with this cane, or that gal that's pushing her husband in a wheelchair, or just somebody elderly, right? And you're thinking, you get in and you kind of pull them aside and say, why didn't you hold the door open, huh? Right? You've had those moments, and they're teachable. When our kids were young, we said, listen, hold the door for the elderly. Now, there's nothing on the shelf. We're about to put the helmet on. And we go to the shelf and we say, listen, these older people, a couple of reasons. We would say morality. They're older than you. They might be handicapped. They might have a hard time. Maybe their hands are full. So when you hold that door, you're showing honor. The Bible says honor one another above yourself. Honor the elderly. Give them respect. That's what the Bible. So we grab that. We're going to put it on our kid's shelf because we don't have a helmet on. I don't know. Why didn't you hold the door? I don't know. Why should I? Well, because of those reasons. And these people have given you a great country. They have earned it over their 60 years or 50 years or 70 years. They have earned it by giving you a great nation and freedom and all the stuff that you have. You have those privileges. So you want to honor them by holding the door. And then they go by and then they say, right? Because they go to the shelf and they say, oh, I see someone coming. And they hold it and let them go in instead of running in and jumping on the carousel. And then the people walk by and they go, what great kids you have. And you sit there and you take all the credit. You bet. Right? Instead of the door slamming, what were you thinking? And so we try to do those things. Well, let me give you an example. This happens all the time. And I hate this, and this might help you. As a pastor, everybody wants a few minutes with the pastor. So service gets out, first, second service, 200, 300, 400 people say, hey, we'd just like to have a minute. So I'll be in conversations. And this has probably happened to you, right? I'm talking to someone, and we're having a nice conversation. They're telling me about something, and somebody will run up and go, hey, pastor, just want you to know, da, 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 da. And I go, I'm sorry. And you turn, right? Because that happens. Someone interrupts you, you know, because they are more important. than this person. It happens to you, right? Where your kids run up and they're like, Mom, Dad, right? And that happens and you're talking to someone. Drives me crazy, right? Because, and I'm like, what are you thinking? I'm not. There's nothing on the shelf that says I can't interrupt this person. So we told our kids, listen, the Bible says treat each other higher than yourself with more respect than yourself. Jesus said, love one another above yourself. And it drives me crazy because it's happened to you where you'll be sitting there and you see it happen in the restaurant. You'll see it today. And you're talking to someone. It might even be family. And the next thing you know, the phone goes off. You're in the middle of a conversation. They're doing this. Oh. Right? And I'm thinking to myself, you just said, and that's what we teach our kids, that person isn't as important as this person. Right? Drives me crazy. In our technology, I mean, you're having a conversation. Someone does that. And you might as well just have your ringtone going. You're talking to them, and all of a sudden, hey, 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 hey. Make that your ringtone because it's that annoying. Or and it's not even that you have one person. A person can have six conversations being interrupted while they're with you. And it's not. It's, hey, 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 you. Hey, 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 you. Me. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden this person, and I told my kids, I said, that is so rude. Don't do that. When daddy's talking with someone, I want you to say, I respect you. And so when our kids first did it, the first teaching, to get their helmet on, to say you're important and I want to get the right kind of thinking and treat others the right way, because our thinking all the time just gets turned around. I say, that person's important, right? Yes. Do you think they're more important than you? Well, you're my dad. Yes. And I love you more than I love them. But we want to respect one another. Oh, okay. And by you running up interrupting, saying you're not important, would you just simply turn around and go away? And it happens with cell phones too. And so we taught them and put on the moral shelf and the interrupt rule. So when we're in a conversation, they go, I need to talk to my dad. They go to the shelf and they go, oh, there's something there. Respect. And now we teach them this. And you'll see, well, I don't know if they so much do this anymore, but now you'll know the secret and you can do this. They walk up and they'll put their hand on our arm. And it says, Dad, I need to talk to you. I have something to say. It's not an emergency. It's not life or death. That is interruptible. But I just have something very important. I want to go out with my friends after church. And so a hand will be here. And it says, I respect the conversation that you're having and that person. And I want you to know that I respect them. But, Dad, I'm here. And I just want you to know when you get a minute, I'd like to talk to you. And then I'll take my hand and I'll just tap their hand. And it says, I know you're there. And I know you have something you want to say. And thank you for respecting that person. And I want you to know that I've recognized that you're here. And as soon as I get a moment, I'm going to have a conversation with you too. And they go to the shelf and they go, yes, we've changed their thinking that other people matter. Right? And we live in a world where you say so many times to your kids, what were you thinking? And I think we live in a Christianity where God goes, what were you thinking? And we go, I went to the shelf. It was empty. And God says, take up the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and go ahead and put stuff on there so that when the time comes, you're thinking godly things. And you know what God's whole message was, Jesus, when he came to this earth? His whole message is real simple. He said, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. Do you know he used the word kingdom of heaven 68 times? 68 times the phrase kingdom of heaven. You know what he said? I want you to have kingdom thinking. You need to think differently because the kingdom was not just a land. It wasn't just like this square box. And he goes, okay, I'm a king and I own a space. That's not what he was talking about here in Scripture. He says, I'm a king. Jesus was already a king, right? We know that Jesus was already a king. In Luke chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, we find something really interesting. We find it says, this is a story about a man. This is about giving. I've preached on this so many times. And I read this week, and I went, that's not what it means. This isn't about money. It says, you know, it's where the guy goes, to these people and says, hey, I'm going to give you a few talents. I'm leaving. When I come back, I hope you guys did well with the talents I gave you. But look how it starts. There's a verse tucked away here that changed my thinking. While they were listening, Jesus, surprise, tells a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. They thought that Jesus was going to take a sword out. Here's their terrible thinking. Jesus is going to take a sword out. He's going to give us swords. We're going to get guys like Jeshua. He's a hoss. We're going to get Cornbread. He's a hoss. He's in the front of the army. 6'5", I'm going to give you a sword. I'm behind you. We're going to give you one, too. I've seen you in action. And you guys, we're going to take the Romans out. I'm going to be a king. That's what they think. So he tells them a parable. He says, you're wrong. You're missing the kingdom. You're not kingdom thinking, you're earthly thinking. And he says, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and to return. He's talking about himself, isn't he? Now watch this. He says, a man of noble birth is going to a distant land to be appointed king and then come back. Well, Jesus is already a king. Why would he have to go away and get appointed king to come back? The word king, kingdom, is basileia in the Greek. It means a power, an authority, and a reign. It means God reigns with power over an area. He's not saying, he's already a king. It's not like saying, well, the king of Jordan. The king of Jordan, he owns a certain location. That's not what he's saying. Jesus Christ was born on the earth. He was already a king. He left heaven, and he went to a distant country, right? He came to the earth to do what? To get power. Now follow this. Jesus left heaven to come to earth to get power because in Genesis chapter 1, I believe it's verse 26 through 28, God made male and female. He created them in his image, and he said, you guys are in charge of the entire earth. I give you dominion, power, basileia, over everything. Adam and Eve looked at lions and they said, come here, kitty. And they had authority and dominion. They looked at everything in creation and they ruled it until they sinned. Power gone. No kingdom. Prisoners now of sin. So Jesus comes to get that power back from Satan, right? Amen. Are you following me? So Jesus is born of noble birth. He's the Son of God. He goes to a distant country. He's on the earth. He says, guys, I'm going to go get not a kingdom. I already have a kingdom. I'm going to get the power back from the kingdom. And so Jesus is born, dies on a cross, 3 days, goes to a distant place, grabs a hold of all the power, of all the authority, of all the rule of death and sickness and pain and hatred. And he takes those keys from Satan and he raises up from the dead. And in Matthew 28, 18, he says, now all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. Did you get that? Are you following what Jesus did here? All authority in heaven, got it, I'm a king. Now on earth, it's mine too. And now what I want to do is tell you that you have kingdom authority. You have kingdom priority and you have kingdom minority. Now watch this. Kingdom authority. You and I ought to get on our shelf. Guess what? God is in control. Somebody just drove a truck in France and wiped out all kinds of people. I turned on the news. I didn't want to turn on the news. We were with some friends. We were having a great time during boat week. And we were talking about Dallas and all the shootings in Dallas and all the riots and stuff. I said, what a horrible thing. I don't want to watch the news. I said, we'll probably turn the news on and see something terrible. I'm not kidding you. It was 11 o'clock at night. We turned the news on and 80 people are dead. And I said, shut it off. And you say, how is God in control? God is in control. He may not have been controlling that man who did that because he has free will. But here it is. There's kingdom authority in my life. My kingdom authority will not make France do what I want it to do. My kingdom authority will not let President Obama do what I think he should do. My kingdom authority can't change Washington, D.C. But my kingdom authority is at 3713 Lowton Drive. I'm a beachhead for the power of God, and my house, like Joshua, will be a house of the Lord. As for me and my house, we are kingdom authority on Lowton Drive. I don't know about you, but that's the reign and power. So in my life, where I live, I have divine favor. I have divine favor in my life. My wife and I went down to the boat. She said, my feet hurt. I said, we need a close parking spot. I'm not kidding you. We parked right there, got out, and we were right there. I said, what are the odds of that? The next night, we did the same thing. You say, that sounds crazy, parking spots. My God knows the hairs on my head. He can cover my parking spots. My God knows the hairs on my head. He knows my finances. My God knows the hairs on my head. He knows my children who want to wander from Jesus. And I'm claiming kingdom authority over my house and saying, Satan, you can't have my kids. When you are young and you follow the Lord, when you are old, you will return to it, is what the scripture says. And so I trained up my children to know the Lord. And they might get away and I'm going, what were you thinking? But my God says that to me every week. And it is the grace of God, because I am a kingdom authority thinker. And on my shelf, I already know that what I've entrusted to the Lord, he will keep until that day. I've already entrusted to the Lord my family, and I know that he is who's with me is greater than he that is against me. I have kingdom authority because all things are possible through Jesus Christ. You see, on my shelf, I put the helmet of salvation on, and on my shelf it says, God says, all authority has been given to me, and now I give you all power. Now go into this world. See, we need to change our thinking. We're dispensationalists. You know what that is? There are people who actually believe at the cross of Jesus Christ that all the power ended. Can I tell you, the power did not end when Jesus was raised from the dead. The power began through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. I still believe that God raises the dead. I just did a message for our broadcast. We did a broadcast. We are in week 18 of 52 weeks. We had several of you that supported that. We preach from right out of our office here, Grace Around the World, and we reach every Saturday at 5 p.m. in Northern Africa, in the Middle East, and Southern Europe, and in the East Coast of the United States. I'm able to share a message to 1 billion people every Saturday. My message that God laid on my heart this week was John chapter 11, where Lazarus was raised from the dead. You remember Lazarus? He was dead 4 days. His sister Mary and Martha. Do you know what's amazing? Jesus is over in this city. He gets word that Lazarus is sick. His disciples said, we got to go. Lazarus is one of your best friends. His sister Mary and Martha are awesome. And they're sitting around talking. They go, you remember? Remember Mary when she got saved? Oh, do I? She was kind of a prostitute. Well, she was. Remember when you forgave her of her sins? Oh, yeah. Remember when she came in the middle of the room and she got down on her knees, kind of embarrassing, and she wept and your feet were soaking wet and she took her hair and she dried your feet? That's Mary. She loves you, Jesus. Let's go heal her brother. You've healed people. We've seen it. And Jesus said, no, let's stay 2 more days. And then they walked. It took a couple more days. And Mary comes out. She hears Jesus is coming. He waited 4 days. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. She runs out to meet him. Martha is so mad, she's not even going to come out and see him. She is so angry. The pastor couldn't even show up. She runs out, says, Lord, watch her words. If you had been here, this is the stinking thinking. She's missing the kingdom authority. If you had been here, your friend, my brother, would not be dead. See, she's seen Jesus heal people. I've seen Jesus heal people. I've seen 2 blind people get their sight right in front of me. I've seen the blind get sight. Do I believe that God could heal the blind? Yes. Do I think he can raise the dead? Yes. Do I believe people can walk on water? Yes. I've seen 2 dead people come back to life. One of them, she was in here. 15-year-old girl died. She was dead. The first miracle here at Grace. Blew my mind. Didn't know the family. She was dead. The doctor said, the neurologist said, she is dead. Her brain stem has no activity. The blood is drained from her head. She is dead. I prayed over her. The next day, she opened her eyes and said, I want something to eat. That blew my mind. I've never walked on water, and I've tried. I've been up to Lexington Harbor so many times on those rocks. I'm not joking. But you know what? Maybe I'm not supposed to walk on water. Do I believe that God can do these things? You bet. Mary standing there going, if you would have been here. He says, oh, no, I got a different plan. I want to show you I have power over death. Lazarus, come out. Oh, Lord, he's going to stink. He's been decomposing for 4 days. We've wrapped him in balm to kind of hold it together, the smell. We've wrapped him in the white burial clothes, but he's dead. Lazarus, come out here. Lazarus walks out of that tomb, and all of a sudden they go, he has kingdom authority over death. He just raised a man from the dead. Jesus wants you to get your mind onto that shelf and start understanding that God is going to raise you from the dead. He's going to raise your loved ones. Those who have gone before us are with him in heaven, that God is going to raise us up. He's got a heaven waiting for me, and I need to get a kingdom of heaven is upon us. God has opened the door to the kingdom of heaven. I'm not thinking about golden calves. I'm thinking about golden streets. I'm not thinking about the things of this earth. I'm thinking about the things of heaven. I'm not thinking about cancer that's going to take my life. And if anybody lives long enough, they tell us we'll all have cancer. Because guess what? We only get 70 years or 80 years or 90 years. But you know what? I'm going to get all of eternity without sickness, without death, without pain, without hatred, without violence, without Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Green Lives Matter. I'm going to have it where all lives matter to Jesus Christ. Amen? It's going to be an amazing time where Jesus changes kingdom authority. And there's kingdom priority. He said in Matthew 6:33. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. You know what we ought to do? We ought to seek that kingdom. With everything that's within us, I ought to seek that kingdom. You know what we're doing? We're seeking local kingdoms. We're spending money and worry. Oh, I'm worried about the housing market. I had one of those Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac things. Any of you go through that? Remember in 2008 when it hit? Our bank here had sold our loan to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. I've never met Fred or Fannie. But I've had over 72 conversations recorded with them because every given week they had a different story, and every given week they were foreclosing on my house. I said, come get it. I'm not going to live in this house for eternity anyway. I said, it's wood and it sticks and it's paint. I've got a mansion in heaven. You can't take that from me. I've got eternity with my God. You can't tell. I've got an 18-hole golf course off the back porch of my house in heaven with a gigantic fountain on the 18th hole with a water slide that comes off a 3,000-foot cliff that I'm going to jump off of because I can't die. I don't know what you're going to do in the new heaven and the new earth. Are you kingdom thinking? No, we don't get kingdom thinking because we're so busy earthly worrying. We got to get our changing and our thoughts and our minds, and we got to combat this dispensation. We got to combat these things. And so the last thing I want to share with you is this. There's kingdom minority. Kingdom minority, and that's Jesus said about children one day. There was a bunch of kids in church. You know how kids are in church, right? Kids in church really mess things up. You get kids in church, and man, people come talk to the pastor, you got to do something. Those kids were crying in church. They were sitting right next to me. Praise God, those kids were in church. And they were crying in church. So what? Jesus had this going on, and he didn't have air conditioning. He didn't have a sound system. He didn't have a nursery. He had mountainsides and beach fronts. And he's preaching. All these kids are running around, and some kids came running up by the stage. You know what? The disciples went, hey, you need to shut those kids down, because that's what we do. We shut the kids down. And Jesus said, oh, time out. The kingdom of heaven, there's that word again, the power, the kingdom of heaven, belong to the kids. Did you hear what hey, Peter, Andrew, did you hear what he just said? Jesus, what do you mean? The kingdom of heaven belongs to these. The power, the authority, and the reign belongs to kids. Are you kidding me? Wouldn't this be awesome? Why did he say? He says, unless you become like them, you will never see heaven. And I got to thinking about that. And I thought, you ever have a conversation with a five-year-old? It's awesome. Well, and this big purple dragon swooped down, ate up my pony, my unicorn, and then I jumped on the dragon's back, and I killed him. Is that how it went down? Yeah, I did that last week. Really, Pastor? Have a conversation with a five-year-old. It'll enlighten you, because they believe in anything, and they're innocent in their beliefs. It's true. And I think God was saying, you need to be innocent like these kids. They have no motive. Black kids playing with white kids, and they're not even thinking that they're black and white. There's no color to a child. You know what else is there's not with a child? They're not thinking about sexuality and perversion. Why do we need to teach kindergartens anything about it? They're not thinking about it. They're playing doctor, and they got no clue what they're doing. They're in the backyard dropping their drawers talking about the differences of innies and outies. Is that okay? I didn't tell First Service this. I don't think they could have handled this. They don't know the difference. But you know what? They don't care. It's innocent. They're not thinking about kidnapping and the slave trade and all the stuff that's going on. You know what they're also not thinking about? Where their next meal is coming from. Or the bully that might beat them up. They want to get on their bicycle and ride in the dark. They don't care. They're not afraid. They're kids. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, God, let's change the laws in the United States. Let's make the age of the House of Senate not 57, the average House member, or the average senator 63. Let's make them five-year-olds and let them run the country. Here's my philosophy. We got a war going on. We should play checkers and eat some ice cream. We'll use sticks for guns and dirt clods for hand grenades, and my finger is a laser. Let's do it. You're dead, I win. We get your country. But we're hungry. Okay, chicken nuggets for the whole country. I mean, have a conversation with a five-year-old. It'll change your perspective. Oh, no, 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 no. We get old, and we get scared, and we insulate, and we isolate, and don't do that. That's dangerous. And God says, welcome to Christianity. It is dangerous. And get your thinking that anything is possible, because I created the world out of nothing. And you grown-ups are trying to make it, well, it was an explosion. It was a huge bang. And it was 300 million years ago. No, no, let's rewrite the books. It was 4 billion years ago. No, 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 20 billion years ago. And it was a giant explosion of matter. Where did the matter come from? We don't know, but let's just make it matter. And little kids go, I think God made it. Out of dirt, mud pie, called him Adam. Then God breathed into his boogers in his nose. And that's Genesis 1. That a boy. And the little girl goes, I'm a princess. Why are you a princess? Because I am. Why? Because your God made you in his image. And he's the King of Kings. You are beautiful. Whatever you look like, you are a princess. Then they get older and someone starts telling them they're ugly, because that's what grown-ups do, because grown-ups get ugly. They lie and they cheat and they're broken. And children are innocent and pure. And you want the kingdom of heaven? You got to go to your shelf and you got to start putting stuff on your shelf. And on my shelf, this world is falling apart. And I could have the stinking thinking and going, oh my gosh, another attack. God, what are we going to do? Hillary Clinton in office. Oh, God, what are we going to do? Donald Trump in office. Oh, God, what are we going to do? And I go to my shelf and I say, oh, wait a minute, Jesus, you already talked about this. And I go to my moral shelf and it says the scripture, in this world you will have trouble, Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm coming back to my world going, hey, guess what? My world is okay, because in my bubble, I've got a helmet of salvation on, and I've got the sword of the Spirit, and I have better thinking because I'm dressed for success. Let's stand together and pray. Have you got the shelf filled up? How you doing? You know, let me encourage you. Tonight, Sunday night, you're going to go home, and sometime when the sun starts setting around 8:45, it's going to start going down. It's going to be a beautiful day, about 75 degrees. Go sit on your porch. Shut the world out. Grab a hold of your sword and just sit down. Break it open and put something on your shelf so that when Monday morning happens and all hell breaks loose, you can say, I'm okay. I have the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the governments will be upon His shoulders and not mine. Isaiah chapter 6. I got the shelf, and it's full. And I'll know what to do when I get to the door. I'll hold it open, and I'll do what God wants me to do. Let's be better people. Let's be better Christians. Let's put on our helmet, and let's protect the what were you thinking. Father, we love you. You are so great. We worship a God who is worthy to be worshiped. And Father, our world needs you. And without apology, I will proclaim it until the day I see you face to face. And I want to hear those words. Good job, Mitch. Well done, faithful servant. Enter in. It's time to rest. So God, until that day comes, we labor in the vineyard because the harvest is plentiful. So help the workers do their job in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 10:30 next Sunday.